We will do two verses. The first one, number 23, doesn't have a purport. So I'll read that and then we'll chant this verse as per usual. Yanna sprisanti na vidor mano pudhindri ya savaha anta bahischa vitatam vyum matvat tad natosmi aham. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Brahman emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expands like the sky. Although untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Nonetheless, the mind, intelligence, senses, and living force can neither touch him nor know him. I offer unto him my respectful obeisances. So we'll chant this word for word, please. Dehendriya,
Dehendriya
prana,
prana
mano,
mano
diyo
me
yad
angsha
vidha
pracharanti
karmashu
naivanyada
loham
iha
praptaptam
starneshu
tad drastapadesham
eti
dehendriya prana mano diho
me
yad amsha vidha pracharanti karmashu naivanyada loham iva praptaptam starneshu tad drashtra padesham eti Dehendriya prana mano diyo me yad amsha vidha pracharanti karmashu naivanyada loham iva praptatam starneshu tad drashtra padesham eti. Please repeat word for word. Deha, the body. Indriya, senses. Prana, life airs. Manaha, mind. Diyaha, and intelligence. Ami, all those. Yad angsavidaha, being influenced by the rays of Brahman or the Supreme Lord. Pracharanti, they move. Karmishu, in various activities. No, not. Eva, indeed. Anyada, at other times. Loham, iron. Iva, like. Apraptaptam, not heated by fire. Stanishu, in those circumstances. Tat, that. Drashtra apadesham, in the name of a subject. Matter. Eti, achieves. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body senses, living force, mind and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman. Please repeat. As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body, senses, living force, mind and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman. Purport Srila Prabhupada. Red hot iron can burn, but it cannot burn the original fire. Therefore, the consciousness of the small particle of Brahman is fully dependent on the power of the Supreme Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Matak smitir jnanam apohanam cha. From me the conditioned soul receives mercy, knowledge, memory and forgetfulness. The power for activities come from the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord withdraws this power, the conditioned soul no longer has the energy with which to act through his various senses. The body includes five knowledge acquiring senses, five active senses and the mind. But actually, these are merely lumps of matter. For example, the brain is nothing but matter, but when electrified by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the brain can act, just as iron can burn when made red hot by the influence of fire. The brain can act while we are awake, or even while we are dreaming, but when we are fast asleep or unconscious, the brain is inactive. Since the brain is a lump of matter, it does not have independent power with which to act. It can act only when favored by the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Brahman or Para-Brahman. This is the way to understand how the Supreme Brahman Krishna is present everywhere. Just as the sunshine is present because of the sun god in the sun globe. The Supreme Lord is called Rishikesh. He is the only conductor of the senses. Unless empowered by his energy, our senses cannot act. In other words, he is the only seer, the only worker, and the only listener, and the only active principle or supreme controller. Mukam karo jiva chalam bhangam laite girim yat kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatarinam yannas prasyanti na vidor mano budhir indriya swava anta bahischa vitatam yo matvattam nato smiyaham. The Supreme Brahman emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expands like the sky. Although untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Nonetheless, the mind, intelligence, senses and living force can neither touch him nor know him. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Dehendriya pranamanodiyo mi yad angsa vidā pracharanti karmishu nevan yada loham iva praptatam staneshu tad drashtra padesham iti. As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body senses, living force, mind and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman. Yes. So this chapter is entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. And he met the Lord through practicing this mantra, two verses of which are under discussion today. As we know, he'd become akinchana niskinchana. What does akinchana mean? It means without material aspiration, and niskinchana, without a conception of proprietorship. He was a great king, but he'd lost that conception, and he'd lost any desire to enjoy in the material world because the loss of his son. Angira Muni had, by his grace, given him a son. Then his wives had, his co-wives, the wife that bore him a son was Krita Juti. His co-wives had murdered that son out of jealousy, envy. So, of course, a shocking incident. Then Narada and Angira, they brought the son back to life. And the son instructed, "Whose parents are you? I've had so many parents. You asked me to live out my life in your association, but I've had so many parents." So in that way, Chitraketu had lost his ambitions and his sense of proprietorship of the material energy. He had seen the material energy for what it is. He'd seen the stark face, just like Arjuna saw in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Sri Sri Gaunitai Guru Parampara Krishna Balaram Gomata Tulsi Maharani Radhasham Sundar Lalit Vishaka Giri Govardhan Shalagram Maharaja Ki. Arjuna had seen Kalosmi Aham, the absolute power of time, how it is grinding everything and everyone on the battlefield into paste. Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham. These are two absolutes. Sometimes people say, "Oh, it's all relative," but we can, in this materially conditioned state, we can understand that there must be a support of these two absolutes. Time is an absolute. Without time, we cannot do anything. We're all subject to time. And mrityu sarva harashchaham. Death is an absolute. You may think that I'll alter my genetic code, but even then, somebody may drop a bomb on your house and kill you in that way. Death is awaiting us all. Therefore, Krishna sums it all up. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, from everywhere in the material world, even the topmost planet down to the lowest, Dukalayam Asashvitam. It's all a miserable place, Asashvitam. But the living entity under moha, under illusion, thinks, "I'll make a good job of it. I'll enjoy in this world." So the grace of the sadhu is to cut that illusion. Angira and Narada, they didn't arrive in the court to just satisfy Chitraketu's material ambitions. That is not the work of a sadhu. The work of the sadhu is to say that you are in illusion, you're striving for happiness in a place that is only full of misery. It is temporary. There's no permanent solution. There's no sthaneshu. There's no permanent situation. However, to understand that philosophically is difficult. So here Chitraketu had seen practically. His loving wives, co-wives, turned out to be murderers. In Kali Yuga, that is as common as people on the street. women, under the urgings of sometimes their fornicating friends, are urged to murder the child within the womb. How sinful, how horrific, that even within the womb, a child is not safe in Kali Yuga. So the co-wives, they had lost all their effulgence. And how could Chitraketu associate with such murderers, murder of his own children? Huh? And then the son told him, you have affection for me, but it's just illusory. What's the point of it? I've been transmigrating sometimes to the devas, sometimes to the animals, sometimes to the plants, sometimes to the beasts. Chitraketu had lost his material ambition, his sense of proprietorship. The world was vacant. So this is a blessing. And that is the function of the material energy, ultimately. From the point of view of the living entity, has two functions. One is to fulfill his bizarre idea to live separately from the Supreme Lord, and then ultimately to frustrate that desire, to reveal the dukkhalaya masashvatam nature of this world, to reveal to the living entity that there is no happiness in this material world. Even your wives will kill your child. So then, on that practical experience, Chitraketu was ready. And the sages said that to him, previously you were not ready to hear. But now, Narada Muni is instructing him in this mantra. And he will chant this mantra with great care and attention, and ultimately attain, within a matter of days, the darshan of the Supreme Lord. So, just to get the flow, that mantra starts verse 18. So I thought it would be nice, before we discuss the intricacies of today's verse, if we read the whole mantra in English, so that we get the flow of this mantra. You're all great sages, so you will have your own insights as you listen to the mantra. It starts with Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi. So he's meditating on the all-pervasive Supreme Lord. It starts verse 18. Narada gave Chitraketu the following mantra. O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, who are addressed by Omkara Pranava, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Lord Vasudev, I meditate upon you. O Lord Pradyumna, Lord Adiruddha, and Lord Shankarshan, I offer my respectful obeisances. O Reservoir of Spiritual Potency, O Supreme Bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are self-sufficient and most peaceful. O Ultimate Truth, one without a second, you are realized as Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, and are therefore the reservoir of all knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Perceiving your personal bliss, you are always transcendental to the waves of material nature. Therefore, my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. You are the supreme controller of the senses, and your expansions of form are unlimited. You are the greatest, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. The words and mind of the conditioned soul cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord, who is entirely spiritual. Beyond the conception of gross and subtle forms, the impersonal Brahman is another of his forms. May he, by his pleasure, protect us. As pots made completely of earth are situated on earth after being created and are transformed into earth again when broken, this cosmic manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman, situated in the Supreme Brahman, and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. Therefore, since the Supreme Lord is the cause of Brahman, let us offer him our respectful obeisances. The Supreme Brahman emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expands like the sky. Although untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Nonetheless, the mind, intelligence, senses, and living force can neither touch him nor know him. I offer unto him my respectful obeisances. As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body, senses, living force, mind, and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman. O Transcendental Lord, who are situated in the topmost planet of the spiritual world, your two lotus feet are always massaged by the multitude of the best devotees with their lotus bud hands. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete in six opulences. You are the Supreme Person mentioned in the Purusha Shukta prayers. You are the most perfect, self-realized master of all mystic power. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. That's the complete prayer. Narada, having become spiritual master, instructed him fully in this prayer because Chitraketu was fully surrendered. O King Parikshit, Narada then left with Angira for the topmost planet known as Brahmalok. Fasting, drinking only water, Chitraketu for 1 week continuously chanted with great care and attention the mantra given by Narada Muni. After only 1 week of repeatedly practicing the mantra received from the spiritual master, Chitraketu achieved the rule of the planet of the Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of his spiritual advancement in knowledge. Thereafter, within a few days, by the influence of that mantra Chitraketu had practiced, his mind became increasingly enlightened in spiritual progress, and he attained the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Ananta. And then there pursues or follows a description of Anantadev. So, if we look at the prayer and read the purport, we can see that this prayer particularly is relevant to the conditioned soul. Chitraketu was conditioned. He was a king. He had a palace, many wives, unrivaled kingdom, Surasen. He was deeply embedded in the material illusion. So this prayer points the way out of the material illusion. Just like in today's verse, it is explaining that though the Supreme Lord, the final verse there, is existent in his transcendental abode, he is also present within the material sphere. And everything is resting upon him. This is the Achintyabhedabhed Tattva philosophy, which is the ultimate understanding of the Vedas. It is also there in the Brahma Samhita. Ekyopyaso jagananda kotim kotisvaseshu vasudari vibhuti binam tad brahma niskalamananta asesha bhutam govindam aripurisham tamaham bhajami. That Krishna is an undifferentiated entity And though he is in the transcendental abode, he is present everywhere. Not only in his personal feature, but by the expansion of his energy. In today's verse, we saw that the Supreme Brahman is expanded everywhere, and the analogy is given just like the sky, the Akash. When it says sky, we shouldn't think the limited sky above our planet or our plane, depending on your view, but the unlimited Akash, the ether that the material scientists cannot understand, at least some of them. The Akash creates the material dimensionality. Just like if you have water, you may pump a bubble into that water and that air will create the dimensions of the bubble. So Akash is not only expanded everywhere, but it is the cause of material dimensionality. It is the creation of space in that sense. If you were to block off a room and pump everything out and take all the material out, it would still contain the Akash. It is the most subtle of the gross elements. So it is expanded everywhere. So it is a very good understanding how even more fine than that is the Brahman, the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord. That expands throughout the whole unlimited creation, both material and spiritual. Sutre mani gana iva. Simultaneously, the Supreme Lord is expanded as Paramatma. And also, as we see from the 10th canto, the Supreme Lord is expanded within every atom and molecule, and yet everything is within him. Mother Yashoda looked in the mouth of Krishna and saw herself there. With all the planetary systems, seated on her lap was Krishna, and herself looking into Krishna's mouth, while she looked into Krishna's mouth in that situation. So this is achincha. We are conditioned by material dimensionality. We think in terms of our material conditioning. So it is inconceivable to the material mind. We see reality in terms of material dimensionality. And we cannot understand, at least without practicing this mantra and sadhana, we cannot understand the transcendental abode. We cannot understand the position of Krishna beyond this material energy, and yet within this material energy at the same time. We cannot see, we see the sunlight expanding from the sun. We think the sunlight is outside the sun. But in Achincha Bheda Bhed philosophy, the sun is expanding sunlight, and yet all the sunlight is remaining within the sphere of the sun. So Krishna is expanding unlimitedly, as the living entities, as the material energy, as the spiritual entity, and yet it is remaining within him, and yet it is without him, and he is yet within that. Sutri mani gana iva. Everything is resting upon me, just as pearls are strung upon a thread. And the previous verse, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urditam ebaba. Know, Arjuna, that all wonderful and brilliant creations are just a spark of my splendor. My splendor is unlimited. The whole material and spiritual creation is simply an expression of Krishna's ecstasy. Just like in the material world, a vibrant artist paints a picture full of meaning and it moves the audience, those that contemplate. and they gain some inspiration from his painting. So similarly, the Supreme Lord, through his ecstasy, has created the material and spiritual creation. Therefore, we should understand, to understand this creation and the Supreme Lord, Janmadiyashyata, the source of it, the means to understand it is through ecstasy itself. If the creation is an expansion of the Supreme Lord's ecstasy, that is the vehicle, that is the state of consciousness by which it can be understood by his grace. Matuk smritir jnanam apohanam cha, Prabhupada said in the purport, I am seated within everyone's heart, and from me knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness comes. So, how to attain that state of ecstatic consciousness known as bhava, the stage before prema? The stage, Rupa Goswami explains, that we can understand the Supreme Lord and thereby understand our relationship with the Supreme Lord and thereby understand the creation, both material and spiritual. This is necessary knowledge. What's that verse in the Upanishad? Avidyam cha vidyam tadvedo bhyam chayas. That if you wish to attain the nectar of immortality, then you should understand both. Verse 11. Both how the material energy is functioning and how the spiritual energy is functioning. And that is understood by the grace of the Supreme Lord, by those devotees who have attained bhava, substantive spiritual emotion in attachment to the Supreme Lord. It cannot be understood by literary means, by mundane scholarship, by mathematical calculation. That can go on endlessly and simply end up in avenues of mental speculation. The way the creation, the Supreme Lord, and our very selves are understood is through ecstatic revelation. So there are two divisions of bhakti. One is sadhana bhakti, that is vaidhi bhakti. Within vaidhi, the rules and regulation, one cultivates rag, attachment, or rather attraction. That attachment, following in the footsteps of the residents of the Golok, as per the directions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that will lead to attachment. Attraction leads to attachment. Just like in the mundane world, you are attracted to some beautiful girl. You associate with her. You become attached. And then that love leads to a loving relationship. However, in the material world, there's always a worm in the apple. So we won't dwell on that. But this serves to teach us how we are meant to cultivate ecstatic attachment to the Supreme Lord. First, we follow rules and regulations, four regulative principles. Then we chant. And then we develop a mood of attachment, not artificially by some bogus siddha pranali imposition, but rather through an awakening soul. A certain bhava awakens in the heart. Then one is meant to follow the mood of that attachment. That will bring one to a shakti, attachment. And that attachment will lead to bhava, which will condense down to prema. So Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion explains that it is at the stage of bhava, which is the beginning of the second part of bhakti. Bhava bhakti is divided into bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. It is at this stage of bhava that real revelation of the Supreme Lord, beyond just literary understanding, becomes revealed by the grace of Krishna to the sadhaka, the bhava bhakta, by his grace. So, sometimes it is stated, oh, it will just chant Hare Krishna and it will come automatically. That is rather like saying, if you go in the kitchen, then lunch will come automatically. Huh? That is the lazy man's out. No. The Goswamis, the great acharyas, have written so many literatures expounding not only Sambandha Gyan, like these prayers, the position of the Supreme Lord in relationship to the material energy, but also Abhideya Gyan, how to develop that attachment that will lead to bhava. And then at stage of bhava, one will develop one's swarup. The swarup, Prabhupada explains, and all the literature, you can read Vedanta Sutra, fourth adaya, fourth pada, verses 1-3. It is swarupena avavashtiti. Also, in the third canto, Lord Brahma says, muktir hitavan yata rupam swarupena avavashtiti. Very similar. That what is mukti? It is to be established in one swarup. That is the intermediary stage of bhakti. When Krishna is realized, then everything is revealed. The Sahajiya Bogus class, they develop and they teach, meditate on yourself as this, as that, in an imaginary way. No, the path of Rupa Raghunath is to meditate on the Supreme Lord, the Transcendental Lord, and then just as the sun arises, everything is revealed. Once you realizing the Supreme Lord, as Chitraketu has done, then you will understand your relationship with the Supreme Lord. Then Swarup will come. The Swarup, Ramanujacharya, in his commentary on that same section of the Vedanta Sutra, says the Swarup is folded within the soul. Prabhupada, in a letter to Rupanuga, he explains the spiritual form is situated just like a tree is situated within a seed. So you have everything. But the bogus interpretation that particularly Bhaktivinoda Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada fought against was that you can pick and choose your swarup, and then according to your imagination you will develop it. No, the soul, as we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the pastime of Jiva Goswami's nephew Anupam, who was a Ram Bhakta by nature, the swarup is there within the soul. So you have everything in your own hands. Just like if you're in the kitchen, if it's a good kitchen, there's dal, atta, ghee, pots and pans. If it's an ISKCON kitchen, maybe it'll have gas in the tank. You have everything there, but you have to supply the endeavor. What is that endeavor? Chitraketu was hankering for a son. The sadhaka hankers for realization of the Supreme. We don't say don't hanker, become voidist, become impersonal. That is bogus. We say no, hanker for your relationship. This is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vipralamba seva bhav. Not that through imagination I have attained the Supreme Lord. Rather, I haven't attained the Supreme Lord, but lolam. Kabe habe bolo se dina ma. Aparada ruchi. Sudanama ruchi. Kripa bole hridaye sancha. Yes? When will that day come when my offenses are less and I'm getting some taste for the name? When in my heart will your mercy shine? As Mahaprabhu said, Ainanda tanija kinkaram patitamam vishveva vambudo kripaya. By your mercy, kripaya tava pankaja stuti dali sadisim vichintaya. By your mercy, you pick me up and make me an atom of dust. Make me your devotee at your lotus feet. This is the sublime potency of bhakti. That we don't rely on our own endeavor alone in the kitchen. Rather, we implore the Lord, you imbue in me some sincerity. You give me this desire. Just like in that song. When will that desire come where I will want to read the literature left by the six Goswamis? We pray to the Vaishnav, Krishna, say tumara. Krishna is yours, Krishna dite paro. That you have the power to give me. I am a vacant lot. I am an empty field. By your mercy, you arouse bhakti in me. So our supply is sincerity, and that kripaya. So that means that automatic is not there. Automatic means impersonal. Automatic taxi. Now they're making buses, right? They have no driver. Do you want to go in one of them? I don't think so. Well, maybe if it's not an Indian driver, it might be a good idea. But there must be a driver. There must be an impetus. And the driver of bhakti is sincerity. Knowledge can only take you so far. Yes, there's wonderful knowledge in this sloka. The Supreme Lord is transcendental. And He is controlling every aspect of the creation. How to come to that realization? You must become free of material aspiration. And ya bilasita sunyam, jnana kamari anavritam. You must become achincha, niskincha. You must want nothing else. Then, Krishna nu shilanam, you should perform seva under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. He can direct you how to please the Supreme Lord. Sevaya. You must execute the order of the bona fide spiritual master as your life and soul. That is your yajna. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji. Madhyaji means offering. The offering that we offer to Krishna is obedience to the order of the spiritual master. And we offer that with sincerity and humility. Mam namaskuru. This is bhakti. And then Krishna within the heart, as it explained here, He is within the heart. He is giving life to this material body. There's a Chaturvyuha expansion and another one. Everything is resting on the Chaturvyuha. Our thinking, feeling, willing, our acting is respectively resting on Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Adiruddha. We have to realize that nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko yo va didadati kaman, that Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desire. Now, if you don't have the desire to advance, then why will Krishna fulfill it? Yetam mam prapadyante. But if you desire to advance, then Krishna will, yetam, he will fulfill that desire. So automatic is not there. Everything is resting upon Krishna, and he is fulfilling the desires of all living entities. He is the Supreme Eternal. He is the Supremely Conscious. And the aim of human life is to param satyam dhimahi, janmadiyasyata, to meditate upon that Supreme Source. We have eternal kinship with the Supreme Lord. The father loves the child. The child may be rebellious for some period and enter the material sphere, but he never forgets his relationship. Once he loses his rebelliousness and he understands, the father is my source, he brought me into this world, he cares for me, then how can he be rebellious? So the material desire, material disease is based on an envious rebellion. I will be independent. But if we understand, janmadiyasyata, that Krishna is our source, then how can we actually maintain? How can the son be rebellious to his father once he admits to himself that I exist because of my father, by his grace? So that's why the Bhagavatam and the Vedanta Sutra starts with that. Krishna is the source. So here in these prayers, Chitraketu, the prayers given by Narada Muni, they explain that. We're in this material energy, but beyond and throughout this material energy is the Supreme Lord. I meditate upon him and I pray for his obeisances, his mercy. I offer my obeisances. So with just a number of days of sincere chanting, Chitraketu became the Lord of the Vidyadharas. Vidyadhara means the bearers of knowledge. They are one of the 10 Upadevas, the Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Kinpurushas, the Yaksas, Rakshasas. They are all Upadevas. So then he attained shelter at Lord Anantadev, upon which all the material energy is resting. And then later on, by grace of Durga Devi and Lord Shiva, his realization was furthered. King Chitraketu Narada Muni Angira Muni Ke Jai. So, any question? For chanting, practice makes perfect. Right? How can we develop the mood of attachment for chanting? We talked about that in the end of the last class. This is a very good question, because chanting for us, the Ma Mantra, is the ultimate method of attachment to the Supreme Lord. And that is Madhyaji. You chant for the pleasure of Krishna, to satisfy the spiritual master's order. Why is 16 rounds a million times better than 15 rounds? Because Prabhupada said a minimum of 16. Once you've gone into 16 rounds, then you are satisfying the spiritual master. Acharya mam vijani aham. So the acharya is non-different. Sadaham Hridayam Tvaham, Sadunam Hridayam Tvaham. The heart of Krishna is the sadhus, and the sadhus have nothing in the heart other than Krishna. So if you satisfy the spiritual master, the order of the spiritual master, and you make your life an offering to the spiritual master, then the mercy of Krishna will manifest as attachment to him. That manifestation, that knowledge of Krishna, turns to attraction. Krishna is all attractive. So through the Naam, you develop understanding of the quality of Krishna, the association of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the leela of Krishna, by his grace. So the most potent form of getting the grace of Krishna in the wider sense is by satisfying the sadhus of Krishna, particularly the order of one spiritual master. Here, Chitraketu didn't get this mantra out of a book. He got it from his spiritual masters, Angira, Narada Muni. And then with great care and attention, he didn't think, I'll do something else. I know a better mantra. No, this has been given to me by Narada, so I will chant this one with great care and attention. Right? So by grace of Guru we get Krishna. By grace of Krishna we get Guru. So we chant for the satisfaction of Guru. Not even considering, I will get bhava, I will get prem. No. That is a side effect. The satisfaction of the spiritual master is the end point of endeavor. Do you understand? The sahajiya, he may take so many mantras and he may even take so much intoxication. This will increase the bliss of my bhajan. His goal is to enjoy. We are doing that in the material world. So we come to the Maha Mantra and we think, it's another way to enjoy. I'll enjoy the spiritual world. Hopefully that can be put aside. We say, yes, chant and be happy. That means come to the mode of goodness. But the philosophy of Mahaprabhu is chant and suffer in separation. And to chant calling for him, that is our philosophy. So we offer Madhyaji, Mamnama, Madbhakto, Madhyaji. We offer our chanting to Krishna. Please hear me, Lord. Please give me your service. Daruka, he was fanning Krishna and he felt great bliss and he couldn't fan Krishna properly. Oh, to hell with this bliss. It's interfering with my service. So the enjoying mood, we have to understand it is an obstacle. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. Prabhupada mentions Rishikesh in the purport. Rishikesh means we are meant to serve the master of the senses. We are Angsa. We are part of Krishna, Mavaivamsa Jivaloke, Jivabhuta Sanatana. But we're in this material world trying to enjoy. So don't carry that mood into your chanting. Rather, offer to Krishna your chanting. Yeah, Om Namo Tubhyam. What's the date?
He's praying Vasudeva, his son, Vasudeva.
Sorry?
He's praying
In the 18th verse. Om namah tubhyam bhagavate. Yes?
So, but we know that, you know, if they would take a seat was to pass through the administration of the going to some higher planets and after that prepare all the things and they will and then start to
go. Say again a little slower.
In the, see, although this.
I didn't catch your.
Yeah, he's praying to Vasudeva, who is the son of Vasudeva, he's Krishna.
Yes.
But his lifetime, he didn't go to the spiritual world. He didn't go to the spiritual world as a secret. He came back again. He was.
Well, the devotee is not looking for going any place. He's looking, like we said, this is a hoitiki bhakti. Huh? What is it? Savai pumsam para bhaktir yato bhaktir hotsidye ahoitiki atat yata yatma suprasidati. The devotee does not looking to go to heaven or this place or that place or even the spiritual world. He is looking to satisfy the Supreme Lord and the devotees of the Supreme Lord by his service. Even if he stays in the material world, it doesn't make any difference. So what's the basis of your question? He's chanting this mantra not because he wants to go to Krishna Lok. He's chanting this mantra on the order of his guru. That is the principle of bhakti.
He was mentioning this.
Well, there are many meanings to Vasudev. Vasudev also means the one who lives everywhere. So in this sloka, this we can understand, this I explained earlier at the beginning of the class, this shows that Krishna is everywhere and yet he is the source of his expansion throughout. So he's meditating on Krishna's ontological position, if you like. Well, you have to study more and more. Of course, he's offering this for the pleasure. I offer my obeisances. Mam namaskaru. I don't see the point of your question. What is your question?
My question is, you are praying that Vasudeva, son of Krishna, Vasudeva.
That's a statement, not a question.
Yeah, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he's mentioning that I offer my obeisances to Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva.
Still, it's a statement. What's the question? What's the question? The spiritual world is all pervasive, as is the Supreme Lord. The spiritual world is a matter of consciousness, turiya. You remember in the purport, Prabhupada said, when you're in deep sleep, that's called susupti. The brain is not active. There are four levels of consciousness. Susupti, swapna, jagre, and turiya. Deep sleep, dreaming, wakefulness, and turiya. So turiya is the spiritual world. Don't think of the spiritual world just as a location. It is ultimately a state of consciousness. So going to the spiritual world means to attain spiritual consciousness. Narada Muni, after this mantra, he went to Brahmalok. Was he in Brahmalok by location? Yes. Where was he by consciousness? He was in the spiritual world. So when Prabhupada was in New York, by location, he's in New York. But where is he in consciousness? Yes, Vrindavan, the forest of devotion. So we want to attain the location of consciousness, not spatial. We want to live on the transcendental plane. That is going to the spiritual world, whatever part of the creation it may be in. That is the aspiration. Does that clarify matters? I hope so. Chant the mantra for 8 days and then see what happens. All right, thank you all very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada, Radha Shyam Sundar Lalit, Vishakha Krishna Balarama Ki. Jai.